Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org.
This episode is titled Relationship with God as Deity, as Father, as Friend, Higher Relationships with Each Other. Here is Neon Emerson Chase.
Have any of you ever been in Savers and Flagstaff? They have a lot of used things, and sometimes they have some really wonderful selection of used books. So about 3 years ago, I was browsing in there, and I came across a Pulitzer Prize-winning one titled God, A Biography. Well, of course, I was fascinated, never heard of it before, and pulled it out, opening it to the table of contents, which showed that the author used much of the scripture found, well, actually all of the scripture found in the entire Old Testament of the Bible to give a history of the human evolution in the understanding of the concept of God. Since these Old Testament books are scriptures that are treasured by three major world religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, I was even more interested, for this is the foundation of these religions' concepts of God. According to the author of God, A Biography, the first concept of God is as a creator, as indicated in the first three chapters of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, the book of beginnings. God becomes also a destroyer in Genesis 4 through 11, a combination of creator and destroyer in Genesis chapters 12 through 25 up through verse 11, and in the last portion of Genesis, chapters 25 beginning with verse 12 through 50, God rises to becoming a friend of the family. I find it interesting that the first half of Genesis is devoted to God being a creator first, then a destroyer, and then God's roles of creating and destroying are combined, thus being able to be both without, to be able to be both without any seeming contradiction. That is, no contradiction for those who understand what it is that God is actually destroying. And in that higher understanding, the presence of God and the love of God automatically just dispels evil. So the destruction that God does has to do with that which is out of divine pattern, and it's usually through love. Though the Old Testament doesn't naturally normally teach that, that's more a higher understanding. But they had the concept that he was a destroyer. The entire second half of Genesis is devoted to discovering God as a friend of the family unit. So, in the first book of Genesis, human understanding of God has evolved to being friend of family units, and within the context of friend of family, it is understood that God creates all life and destroys that which is against life and the family within his pattern. Of course, for thousands of years, we mortals have deviated into our definitions of divine pattern, and thus have made God the creator and destroyer and friend of what we want him to create or destroy or be friendly to. In the second book of the Old Testament, Exodus, God becomes also a liberator and a lawgiver as humans bring their understanding of God into their wars and their politics. God is mortal's liege in Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, serving humans in their less than divine wishes and desires for power and control over the world, including other human beings. God is conqueror in Joshua and Judges, helping his supposedly chosen people be victors in war and in colonization of other cultures and countries. In Samuel, for the first time, God is seen as Father, a Father who is also arbiter in kings, bringing intervention and justice. In the first 39 chapters of Isaiah, humans saw God as an executioner of their version of justice. In his execution of justice, God grew to be the Holy One in the last 26 chapters of Isaiah, thus bringing the laws, procedures, and executions of a certain people into holiness. The concept of God evolves to a more personal level when he becomes more like a spouse, a lover, counselor, and comforter in the next five books of the Old Testament: Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, the Psalms, and Proverbs. In Job, God is a punisher, a fiend of sorts, as a man who considers himself a man of God suffers many tribulations, which Job attributes to God. In the Song of Songs, Ruth, Lamentations, and Ecclesiastes, God withdraws and becomes more of a mystery, a puzzle, more of a bystander and recluse, not real active in the comings and goings of human beings, yet they are aware of his existence and yearn for him. God gets back in to human interests as a judge called the Ancient of Days in Daniel, a record keeper or scroll in Ezra, Nehemiah, and Chronicles. In the New Testament of the Bible, which is scripture in Christianity and valued to some extent in Islam, Jesus brings another understanding of God: God as Father, brother, friend, and Savior, Savior from our own lower selves. What Jesus brought can help not only individuals, but whole nations leap into a higher realization and understanding of God, leading to world peace and the first stage of light and life. What Christianity and other evolutionary religions have brought is a combination of correct and incorrect ideas of divinity, the nature of God, God's involvement with us humans, and his divine pattern. But amidst this confusion are jewels of truth and inspiration that truly bring God to people and people to God. When in 1988 I embraced the Urantia book as the fifth epical revelation, and allowed the concepts found within its 2,097 pages become part of my understanding of God, deity, divine pattern, and other cosmic and spiritual realities, my life changed significantly and continues to change for the better as I evolve in my understanding of epical revelation, continuing fifth epical revelation. In August of 1989, Something I wrote was published in Realize Times, a small monthly periodical that focused on New Age type information. My article was entitled, From God with Love, and I'd like to share some parts of it now. Many search for God, for it is within all of us, this desire to know God. For those who fully acknowledge this pull within, life is a series of stages, steps, paths, always seeking higher truth and God. It is said by some that we can never find God. It is said by others that we are all God. Both statements are partially true. On this plane, we can never fully find God, but we do have a fragment of God within us. And with this revelatory fragment, we can begin to know God in part, always reaching for more understanding as our souls evolve. God has been called by many names, but those names never fully define God, for he or she has never really revealed himself or herself by name, only by nature. And just what is the nature of God? The many names attached to God reveal in part his or her essence. The first source and center indicates that God is the beginning of all things and beings and the center of all. Creator shows that God is the creator of all things and beings. God, the sevenfold, symbolizes that God is multi-leveled. Supreme Spirit is an actualizing, evolving being. Lord signifies rulership and judgment. Father, Mother brings us a loving, personal being. The many names of God intimate that deity is definitely a personality who is infinite, perfect, just, righteous, merciful, good, ever-evolving, and most importantly, loving. But these concepts reveal only a small fact of God. The name given to God is not nearly as important as the fact that we all have within us a desire to know him or her. If we go with this divine pull, this sublime search, we will begin to discover God as our understanding of him or her unfolds layer by layer. This search for God is not limited to only this life. It is the supreme adventure of the evolving soul in each succeeding existence. In fact, it is the quest of the inhabitants of all worlds of time and space, not just this world. God's creation not only reaches out to him or her, God reaches out to us in many ways. And so we do imagine what God is like. And even though our concepts are limited and partial, we can know him or her in part. In our spiritual evolvement, more of God is revealed, and we come closer and closer to him or her as we open ourselves to the leading of that divine fragment within us. The God of universal love unfailingly manifests himself or herself to every one of his or her creatures, up to the fullness of that creature's capacity to spiritually grasp the divine personally, personality essence. Note that I referred to God in this article that I just read to you as either him or her, because God is beyond all gender. Though through God, there is circuitry and association of personalities and forces that involve energies and essences that we humans, on our level, would consider more male or female, more yang or yin. But I won't get much further into this. What I'd like to do now is share with you some poetic writings that reflect a relationship with God in some manner. For there are innumerable ways to relate to God, to walk with God, to experience God. And over the hundreds and hundreds of years, there's been many writings and songs and other forms of art that have expressed experiencing God in some way. So I'm just taking just pieces, just a few, very few examples. Many of you are familiar, especially us in this community, with Hafiz, a 14th century mystic of the Muslim religion. He wrote of God's involvement with us in his poem, Manic Screaming. Relate to this, we all can. Hafiz says, "We should make all spiritual talk simple today. God is trying to sell you something, but you don't want to buy. That is what your suffering is, your fantastic haggling, your manic screaming over the price." Another of Hafiz's poems encourages us to have a relationship with God, who is our friend. "You are with the friend now. Learn what actions of yours delight him. What actions of yours bring freedom and love. Whenever you say God's name, dear pilgrims, my ears wish my head was missing so they could finally kiss each other and applaud all your nourishing wisdom. Oh, keep squeezing drops of the sun, pilgrims, from your prayers and work and music and from your companions' laughter. And from the most insignificant movements of your own holy body. Now, sweet one, be wise. Cast all your votes for dancing." Rumi, another mystic of the Islamic religion, wrote of God as not always understandable, but always present in his poem that first speaks with God, and then it appeals to us, his fellow mortals. So here, when he quits speaking to God and then starts speaking to us. The title of this poem is called, "He Also Made the Key." "When I entered the city, you moved away. When I left the city, you didn't even look up to say goodbye. I'll accept your kindness. I'll accept your insult. I'll accept whatever you have to give. Your radiance shines in every atom of creation, yet our petty desires keep it hidden. Like the beautiful wife of a prince, you dwell in a lonely place. If you come out of hiding, the veil on every face would fall. You confound the doubting heart. You intoxicate the faithful head. You have robbed every soul of its senses. You have brought every heart to your breast. All roses fall prey to December. All intellect falls prey to love's glory. Since the rose is not eternal, why be captured by its scent? Let me know your secrets, only the ones that last forever. How many men have found tragic ends running after beauty? Why don't they look for you? the heart and spirit of all beauty. You formed man from a handful of dust. You gave him the power to know the highest truth. You feed him from the snares of this world with one breath of your spirit. O love, O heart, find the way to heaven. Find the way to God's pasture. You have spent enough time in this pasture made for cattle. Set your sights on a place higher than your eyes can see, for it was a higher aim that brought you here in the first place. Now be silent. Let the one who creates the words speak. He made the door. He made the lock. He also made the key. Rumi makes a worshipful statement to God in another of his poems. Every question I ask is about you. Every step I take is toward you. I slept well last night, but I woke up drunk. I must have dreamt about you. In a poem by our own Clistine, like in some of the poetry by Hafiz and Rumi, we see a God that can at times be playful, bringing us joy, music, dancing, and laughter. This poem is called Connecting. We're playing hide and seek with God. He made each of us a theme tune and knows us by it. So he always finds us. Usually we run away and hide again. But sometimes, particularly when we're hurting, we look for him. He has his music too, cascading symphonies attuned to the evolving spheres. How can we tune in? This is the secret. God's always knocking on our door. And when we open up, really open up and let him in, he starts to orchestrate the tune he gave us. In such moments, we no longer want to hide. Feeling the divine connection, we sense our sacred source. Like Job from the Old Testament, we too can have our trials and tribulations, struggling to understand how God can be a part of our life when we are in such turmoil. Meeson, another member of our community, Meeson, down south, you have a poem called The Dark Night of the Soul that expresses some of this. It is the dark night of the soul. Each soul must choose what to hold and what to lose. What sustained me before won't support life anymore. My mind's conflicted, my selves at war. What once served as protection is useless in this insurrection. What I took for solid rock now flows a river of sand. In this quake, my foundation shakes. I'm not sure of where I stand. Uncertainties unnerved me. I'm not sure who I am. It seems apparent. I think it's true. I'll be a new man if I make it through. A different man than who I now am, one of higher understanding. I would run away, but there is no escape from pressing decisions I'm compelled to make. The time is short, a great deal at stake. Everyone must choose, all must go. Father God, I have lost control. I feel like I'm spiraling into a black hole. God, help me reach your light as I go through my dark night of the soul. Spirit gravity, take control. Help me commit to you. Let the rest go. Destiny dawns bright on the morning side of the dark night of the soul. And in closing, from Raphael, who has studied and taught the Urantia book for over 40 years and continuing Fifth Epical Revelation for almost 20. I am God, infinite, eternal, perfect, absolute, everywhere, everything, one, three, sevenfold, trinities, triunities, trioddities, qualified, unqualified, universal. I am also more than this. I am in all this and of all that, existential and experiential, ultimate and transcendental, supreme and evolutional. I am Father. I am Lover. I am Gift Giver, Bestower of Life, Creator Sons, Creative Daughters, Universe Mothers. Source of light within me is day and night, suns and stars, dimensions and ascensions, potentials and actuals, pattern and form, automatons and atoms, cells and organisms, life abundant. A grand universe filled with my seed in a master universe garden, growing, evolving, eventuating, becoming me. Thank you.
Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase. An ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org.